Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's a little ZZ Top, that little band from Texas bringing this back. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for being part of my day. We're having a great visit with our good friend Pamela N. Danziger. Pam is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she's the author of the new book, Putting the Lux Back in Luxury. Pam, congratulations on the new book. Tell us when it's going to be available.
Oh, it's available now.
All right.
And you can visit my website. You can search it online. I understand Amazon had some and sold out, and my publisher has them, too.
All right.
So the word is Lux, putting the Lux, L-U-X-E, back in luxury.
Congratulations on that success. I'm not surprised.
It's a lot of work, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Pam, we've got two kinds of unemployment right now. Oh. We've got systemic unemployment, cyclical unemployment, which means people who are laid off just because of the economy. And then we've got structural unemployment, and these are people who are not really qualified to come back. And that's the more stubborn, the more dangerous of the unemployment structure. And so when I look at the luxury buyer, and if I look at the attitude, as I look at your book and read the things that you've learned here, and I see what you're saying about this, it sounds to me like we've got the same thing with luxury products, with the high end products. We've got the cyclical, which is, you know, when people start making more money, they'll start buying. But then there's this underlying structural attitude about luxury that seems to have changed. Is that what you've learned?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I mean, the subtitle of my book is How New Consumer Values Are Redefining the Way We Market Luxury.
And that's the structural part, isn't it?
Yeah, that's that value change. And you know, one of the things, I mean, that I see with the consumers, and it's so obvious, you know, especially with these high, you know, the high earners and these with people with discretionary money, the ones that you want to attract to any business because they're the ones that have discretionary money, you know, but they are very, very smart and they know how to live a couple of rungs up the income ladder by being smart and making smart purchases. So
mm-hmm.
they go to shop at Costco and they shop at Walmart and they'll, you know, in a small business, they'll often say, well, you know, you have a product out there for $55. Well, will you take $45 for it? And, you know, things are really,
you know,
it's hard for shopkeepers. And I see closed store after store after store because we just got back from a little trip. It's so disheartening, but small businesses just cannot keep the doors open because they are really struggling.
Well, as we said earlier, it hits all sectors. It's not just, and this is something the government often confuses when they talk about rich people, which the government currently apparently thinks is $250,000 in combined income for a couple,
right.
which you and I both know is not rich, but they think,
but it's at the top 2%. See, that's where they're the top 2%.
Yeah, but still,
there's 98% with a lot less.
I know, but the point I'm making though is penalizing those people takes jobs away from other people.
Oh, without a doubt.
See, that's the thing that you have to be careful about, and this is what happened back in 20 years ago when the government decided to put a luxury tax on. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And they were going to penalize those meanies for buying furs and cars and boats and things like that. Well, what they wound up doing was they literally put the American boat yacht business out of business. The
right.
industry, they almost wiped out the American yacht industry, which means millions or at least hundreds of thousands of craftsmen lost their job.
Right.
Because the government targeted rich people.
You know, one of the things that I focus on in the book, I mean, it's divided into four parts, but one part of the book is about understanding the demographics of affluence.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it sounds really, you know, demographics sounds very boring, but it's really not. It's just a study of these big populations and numbers, and if we look at the demographics, we talked about the Henrys, those people with
mm-hmm.
incomes from 100
high income.
To 250.
Mm-hmm.
They are high income, not rich yet. Those people are primarily employed. They're in corporate employment management jobs. Mm-hmm. The top 2%, the ultra affluent, most of them are owners of businesses, and you know, they, I mean, statistically, are owners, mm-hmm. and they either are partners in a business or they own their own business. I mean, that's where affluence comes. I mean, that's where true wealth comes. Yet, you know, they're being very, very cautious about their business and their lifestyle. So, I mean, it really. And the top 2%, I mean, the whole idea of taxing them to death, it's not going to help anybody.
No, it's not. It's going to hurt jobs. Well, it's just like, and this is what happens when the government does this, just like when George Bush imposed a tariff on steel to protect U.S. steel workers, mm-hmm. he actually hurt 2 million people who work with steel in America.
Well, you and I are on the same page with that.
And like, so that when the government does things like this, it makes no sense. But one of the things that I wanted to point out is in your book, you say that there may be a drought of luxury buying for years. And tell the audience what's going to create that drought.
Well, that, again, is being demographically driven because young people who are, you know, young affluents from 35 to 44, really, age period, are the ones who have the headiest appetite for luxury. They are at, mm-hmm. they're at the acquisitive life stage. Well, their numbers are going to be, you know, they're going to be dragging, and the older affluents, the more mature affluents, are going to dominate until about 2020, until the generation, the millennial generation, the babies of the baby boomers reach affluence. Because, again, affluence comes with middle age, and there's a window of affluence from 35 to 54 years old where people have the highest income.
Well, the other thing, you know, Pam, as we wrap up this segment, is that there's about 20 million fewer Xers than there are boomers.
Oh, yeah.
So even as the Xers come up and take their historical position in the luxury market, there's not going to be as many of them.
No, there isn't.
And so we're talking about maybe a couple of generations before this turns around. Quick break. Stay with us, folks. You can't get away from those generational waves. Pam Danziger's book is putting the lux back in luxury. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.